Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, listeners, and welcome to another edition of Late Days with Marv. I'm super excited to welcome somebody to the show that I consider to be a very dear friend. So lovely, a lovely and talented Miss Kathleen Getty joins me on the show to chat about everything Dr. Ulbricht has been up to, and if she has any other dastardly shenanigans up her sleeve. I'm actually going to be handing the reins off to my lovely and talented co-host over here, Emily. Are you ready for this, Em?
Yes, maybe. Yeah, I'm good.
All right. And with that, let's bring on the lovely and talented Miss Kathleen Getty. Hey, Kathleen, you there?
Hi, I'm here. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good, yeah. Pretty good. I appreciate you doing this again today. I really appreciate it.
No, I'm happy to have a little time to talk to you guys. I just arrived back from Georgia. I was working on another show called Being Mary Jane with Gabriel Union and Lisa Vidal, and just great cast, great people. So I just got off the plane, got home, picked up the phone and called you guys in time.
Wow. As I said, Emily is going to be leading the interview today, so take
Great.
It away, Em.
Hi, Em.
Hi. Okay, so Cody's, like, had you on before, so he got most of, like, the good questions out, so I had to dig deep. So we're going to have some fun questions, because he already did all the work-related questions.
Okay, I hope I have some good answers for you.
Okay, so... Let's see. Let's start with this. If you could meet anyone famous who's dead or alive, who would you choose and why?
Who's been alive?
Who's either dead or alive. They don't
dead
have
or
to be alive.
Alive for... Oh, my gosh. There's so many incredible people. But, you know, I admire many, many people. Like, for example, Mother Teresa. I mean, the obvious ones, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Gandhi. I mean, there's some, the Dalai Lama. You know, I think that'd be awesome. When I was a kid, I wanted to be, I saw the film, Sister Mary of Lourdes, I think. It was this young girl, and she wanted to, she was given the gift of healing people. I think that would be my go-to. You know, that was always my dream, to be able to heal people, but I don't have that gift. So I try to heal them by humor and entertainment and, you know, acting and singing, dancing. That's my contribution to society, but I wish I could do a lot more, a lot bigger things than what I'm doing now. But this is my second best thing is, you know, entertaining people.
See, you said you hoped you had good answers, and you did. That was a very good answer. Okay, let's see.
Speaking from my heart.
They're not all in order, so I have to, like, read. Okay. Who or what specifically, like, what stands out for you that specifically inspired you to follow and pursue your dream of acting, singing, theater?
You know, I think because as a kid, I grew up in a home with music. My father was a symphony conductor. My mother was an opera singer. And I think just listening to all that music was so inspiring. And it just made me want to express myself emotionally. So my initial instinct was to dance because I'm 3 years old and I saw this ballerina, Galina Ulanova's famous Russian ballerina, do Giselle, this very famous ballet. And I saw that. I'm literally 3 years old, and I went, oh, I fell in love with that. I said, I want to do that. And from that point on, I felt like I had this need to express myself emotionally, and all I knew was through dance. I didn't know any other medium. And my parents didn't want us to be musicians. I have a sister, and they didn't encourage us to. They said, God forbid you become musicians. We know how difficult that is. So they didn't want to promote that. But I started dancing, and that was sort of my avenue into expressing myself. And then later I found out that there's acting and there's words, and somebody writes words, and you can put that same expression into words. And I saw that that was a really great way to, I don't want to keep saying express myself, but to communicate with the audience, to get people to feel something, because the power of music is incredible. We all know that. And I thought this is the next way to take people on. I always say this, we're tour guides through people's emotions. We take you on trips, And maybe you're having a good day. Maybe you're having a bad day. Well, let's lift you out of there, make you laugh, make you cry, take you on this journey. Maybe you fall in love with the person on camera who's falling in love, and you have that little emotional escape. And I think it's a big responsibility, and I don't take it lightly. I think it's this particular career choice and this job that I have and the work that I do very seriously. I think we have a very important message and responsibility to the audience.
No, yeah, totally. I understand completely because you're so right. Like, whatever, you know, whatever kind of day you're having, regardless, like, if you watch something on TV that you're invested in, the way that things go with characters or couples or whatever affects how you feel. So
it does.
Yeah,
and
I understand.
Music is so important, too. I mean, that's why we all fall in love with music and listen to it, because it takes you to a place that you can escape to, and it's just such a great place. And I think
yeah.
the same thing for film or TV, and I can't tell you how much it means to me when I get a message from someone saying, you know what, my father's not doing well in the hospital, and I've been really depressed, but watching the show today, and you made me laugh, it made me forget for that hour, thank you. That is the biggest present ever in the whole world, because that means you've made somebody's day a little bit better, or 5 minutes you gave them joy. You know,
yeah.
if we did that, that's awesome. It's a huge huge responsibility, and it's a big gift if we can do that.
Yeah, like the shows that people love and the characters they love, the characters, like, affect people's lives. Like, some people who think that's kind of weird, but, you know, it does. Like, when you watch a character every single day, whether it's every day or in a film, what happens to the character affects how you feel. So, like, if the character does something great, you're like, oh, my gosh, my favorite character did this, and it makes me feel amazing. Or if, you know, something bad happens, it's the opposite. But, yeah, totally
makes
sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see what else. Okay, if you were being shipped off to a deserted island, what three things would you want to take with you?
Well, I'd take my husband. And I have someone to talk to. Although he's like, could you be quiet for a while? You talk too much. And probably a jar of peanut butter, because you can't go anywhere without peanut butter. That's interesting. Sunscreen, so you don't burn to death. No, I don't know. Probably besides my husband, probably just maybe a radio to listen to, or, you know, some way to stay in communication with the world. I know some people who actually a very dear friend of my father's and the colleague, Paul Horn, is famous jazz flautist. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. But he played in the Taj Mahal. He did recordings. He did recordings in Egypt and the pyramids. He was an incredible jazz musician. He just died a few days ago. And I grew up with these incredible musicians in our home. And he and my father were good friends, and he performed with my father's symphony many times. And a few years ago, my father said, my father's 89, but a couple years ago, before he went to a nursing home, he said, Paul Horn went to an island, and he said, I'm not going to keep in touch for a year. I'm going off the grid. And my husband and I were talking about how interesting not to have any communication, no phone, no tell, you know, nothing, just the person you're with or just whatever is around you, just people or yourself, and no, you know, no internet, phone, cell phone. It was like, what an interesting idea. No letters, nothing. You're just on your own to really experience the world. So I'm not sure if I'd take a computer or not. That's interesting. Or my cell phone, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I don't know, because I feel like if it was, like, just me and another person, I would totally get sick of them after a while.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, they drive me crazy. But I like that you said peanut butter, because that's something I would totally say, is you have to take peanut butter with you.
You do, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a necessity of life. Okay.
My favorite food.
Who are some of your personal favorite actors, actresses, or some of the ones that you look up to the most?
You know, there are many, and off the top of my head, right now I'd say Helen Mirren, Kate Blanchett, Anthony Hopkins, there's Max von Sydow's wonderful Danish actor, Danish. A couple of incredible, there's so many people, but those are the ones I think that right now, currently, are just my still go-to people that I just look at them and think one day I'd love to be like them. When I grew up, I want to be like them.
Yeah, I still, even though I'm almost an adult now, I still say that. I'm like, when I grow up, I want to be this. And I feel like sometimes I feel like strange saying that. And I'm like, I'm already grown up.
Honestly, youth isn't just, you know, when you're 15 or 20. I think you're always young looking at something, and you're always striving, and you always want to grow, and you always want to be better, or at least I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, we always want to reach for something. You need to reach for something. And you always, and whether it's growth or getting older or getting smarter or getting whatever it is, you know, a bigger job, something better, I think we're always striving for something. And that's what's exciting about life. You know, so, yes,
yeah.
You never grow up. You stay in that. That's good.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And you know what you said about those are your current favorites. I'm the same way. Like, I have, like, my all-time favorites, and then, like, the ones who I'm super into right now, whether it's music, shows, whatever, it, like, filters. It goes over and over, and it changes all the time.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Yeah, exactly. I'm the same way. It's like, who's in your mind right now? What did you see today that makes you say this? Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Let's see. What else? Okay, what is your favorite thing about playing Dr. Obrecht on General Hospital?
Oh my gosh, every episode I have something. Well, the last one, I thought that was really funny, is that only dead men are too tired for sex.
Oh, I laughed so hard at that.
I'm sorry, I thought that was very funny.
It was hysterical.
That was but there's been so many really good ones. Or what was that one earlier, I think in January, when they first gave me Britta as my daughter, and I said, you know, something about I brought you into this world and I can take you out.
Oh, yeah.
One of the funniest lines to me, at least, was something about Americans.
Oh.
I don't know if you remember that. But
yes, love is for Americans and dogs. I think
something like that. That was kind of funny. That was
yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that
to
was
me.
I think it was like love is for Americans and dogs. And remember that episode
mm-hmm.
with Faison?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yes, I was just gonna say that, the one where he asked you to wear the mask in bed.
Yes, the infamous
that was
mask.
So fun.
Wow, and that was a big, big turning point for Obrecht. The
mm-hmm.
whole.
Oh know, yeah.
Bring out that mask, and that was the cherry on the, you know, the icing of everything, and that was it. That was the last straw.
Yeah. Mhm. That was funny. I remember that. That was. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but it's been a while. That was like November, December, I think. I don't know.
Actually, my two-year anniversary is coming up, July 31st.
Oh, see, now I'm going to remember
awesome.
That because you said that. I didn't even realize. It doesn't seem like it's been 3 years.
You know,
it actually didn't air.
I'm sorry, my first day at the studio was July 31st. I don't think the first episode aired till August 24th. So I still have, you know, on air, my official on air anniversary is until, I think, August 24th. But
wait, do you remember what Obrecht's first episode was? Because I don't remember.
You know, vaguely, I just did an interview with Ron Carlovati, I don't know if you read it, on Michael Fairman
mm-hmm.
on Soap.
I read that one.
Jeff, Jeff Tiles, he just did this great interview with us, really fun, and we were reflecting over the past 2 years and how it all started. And I said, Ron, I think I'm going to need your help here. He wrote it. He should remember it. But he was like, oh, I think. But basically it was with Duke. I'm sorry. Well, that was later. But the first episode was with Luke. He was Dr. von Schremmermann. I remember he was making up this faux doctor.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah. No,
for Anna Devane, who was looking for her daughter. And I think she faked that she was mentally ill, so she'd get in the hospital, and then he was looking for her, and then they were looking for Robin, and they couldn't find her. And I was the one kind of opening and closing doors and bringing them in and trying to hide Robin from them. And then Duke shows up, who was, I didn't know really any of this stuff, because I didn't know the behind-the-scenes stories, who and what's what. But then he showed up, you know, because there's all these, like, secret stories, and I didn't know that Duke was actually Faison in Duke's
mm-hmm.
mask. So, and then that's when they started that whole thing, well, how, you know, that love affair with Faison, who was actually dressed as Duke. So that's how it started.
I remember that. See, I can't remember if it was, like, if you had episodes that were, like, before that story started. But, no, you were at the, okay, now I remember. That was a good story. Like, there's so much, because I've been watching the show for a few years, so there's, like, so much that happens. I forget most of it after a few months. It goes away. And that story, that was when that's what hooked me into the show, is that story. Because I started watching around that time, and that's what got me watching. And everybody was freaking out, and I didn't know why, because they were flipping out, because Duke was coming back, and I didn't know why they were so excited, because I didn't understand that he's presumed dead for all those years. That's what really got me into the show, was that whole story that went through, like, till November or something like that. Yeah, now I remember.
Oh, cool. very
That's
cool.
Awesome. So now we'll have to remember your anniversary of your first show and your first air, well, your first tape date and your first air date.
Okay.
Now we'll remember because it's on tape now. Okay.
Aww.
See, what did I not ask? Okay. So I already know that besides acting, you also sing and dance. But aside from all those things, what else do you like to do?
I used to raise turtles. I love freshwater turtles. I had five sliders, and they called diamond ear sliders. And I had them actually in Europe when I lived in Hungary, in between New York and moving to Los Angeles. I lived in Europe for 6 years in Hungary, Budapest, Hungary. And one of them was just this incredible turtle. It was like a dog. It was totally interesting. If I was singing and practicing, it would come out and just listen. The other four were like, give me my food, lady, and leave me alone. So I used to raise turtles, but then I moved here and I had to leave them, but I brought the one here, Gigi, my favorite turtle. And then I started traveling a lot with work, so I had to give her up for adoption, which was heartbreaking, but I just couldn't. It was just too much because I wasn't home. And that she was seriously like a dog. I mean, she'd be heartbroken if I would go off for a while. So that wasn't good. Very sensitive turtle, just like its mommy. I love to bake. Actually, when I lived in Europe, I had a bakery. My dream was to... I come from... My father's parents were bakers, and they had... My father's from Romania, my mother's from Hungary. And my father, when he was born, it was Romania, but when his father was born, it was Hungary. So that both my parents are actually Hungarian, but his father had 30 bakeries all over Romania before the war. And then, of course, they took everything away when communism came into the country. And then they went to Canada, and he became a baker. Instead of owning 30 bakeries, he was a baker, and I guess in the 60s, but they started a new life in the 50s in Canada, and he'd be working all night baking bread and all these things. But I always had the passion. I guess I'm a combination of baking and art and arts, and the arts, the visual arts, or performing arts, sorry. So I always wanted to have a bakery. That was my blood. I used to bake as a kid. My mother didn't bake. She only cooked. So I was the official baker. And it was my little dream to have a bakery one day. And while I was in Europe and I had this big acting career, I thought, ooh, well, I'm well-known, so why don't I use my baking, my name for my bakery? And I did. I sort of became the Mrs. Fields of Hungary. And I had this company called Nushi Nashi, which was one of the characters I played in one of the movies in Hungary called We Never Die. It was Sosa Halunk Meg, and it's called We Never Die in English. And it was this big hit, and everybody would stop me on this trade and would say, Nushika, and they would call me by the character name. So I thought, well, it's, you know, it's so popular with this name, let me see how it will work with the bakery. So I did that. I started this wholesale business in Hungary, and it just took off. It was fantastic. But then I realized I was there for 6 years, and I thought, you know, this bakery thing is great, and I was going to do some retail stores instead of just wholesale. I thought, no. I'm an actress. All I want to do is act. This isn't about cookies and becoming a cookie mogul. I really want to act. So I left the business there, eventually sold it, and I moved to Los Angeles because it was very difficult to do about 8,000, 10,000 miles away to run a business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did that. So I love baking, I guess, a long-winded question. Sometimes if I have time, I'll go putz in the garden. But watching movies, you have 2 hours, what do you want to do? I said, let's go see a movie, have popcorn. That's my passion, is just watching movies and going to the theater and watching theater, you know. That was a long answer.
Yeah.
Sorry, long answer to your really nice question.
I
think
like
I just
stories.
Killed it.
You always have stories. I like them. No, I feel like you've done everything because you have so many stories. Every time you're on our show, you just have these wonderful stories. And also,
well,
I
yeah,
love
that's
movies
good
too.
Questions. It inspires me to these stories from my past.
Well, Cody got easy questions out of the way, so I had to think really hard to think of some good ones. No,
these are all great. Are you kidding?
Well, thank you. I worked hard on this.
Yeah, I can tell. I can tell these are super questions.
Cody.
We've got a couple callers on the line. If you're up for taking a caller,
okay,
get
I'd love to take sure.
All right, hold on. 803, you're on. 803?
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, 803.
Hey, this is Jess.
Hi, Jeff.
I Actually, I talked to you the last time that you were on one of the radio call-ins, and
cool.
I let you know that I had started an unofficial Kathleen Gaddy fan page.
Oh, is this Jeff and Eric?
Kathleen. What's that? No, this is Jeff.
Oh,
Jessica.
This is Jeff. Oh, Jessica, I'm sorry.
But it's okay because Jess and Eric
to
my page. Yeah, he always comes to my page and he'll like help me out when I'm looking.
Oh, Jessica, hi.
For...
You said Jeff. Jessica, yes.
Yeah,
hi, how you doing?
And actually you came to my page one time and I
yes,
just
put up
for
all
joy.
Kinds of lovely things.
I'm like, oh, my God.
Thank you.
But, anyway, I was wondering, really, where you get those beautiful blue eyes from.
Aw, thank you, thank you. My mom, you know, she passed away 22 years ago, and I look in the mirror and I see her.
And
so
I have
her eyes, and it makes me feel good. She's still with me.
I know she's still with you because you're people that love you and people that pass. I do believe in all of that, that they're still with you, and there's things
too.
That influence you and guide you, and they're saying people saying, you know, they're not here on this earth anymore, but they're saying, hey, yeah, let's go this way. They're nudging you to where you need, you know, to go.
I really believe that. You know, I was moving to Los Angeles back in 1990. I was on All My Children for a couple of months, and I was kind of, people were interested who I was. So I came out to L.A., and there was a great response. And so I went back to New York to pack up and move out here, and my mother was in Victoria, British Columbia, and she said, every summer I would go visit her for a week, and she said, I need you to visit for 3 weeks. And I was furious. I was very close to my mom, but she never asked me for anything. But I'm like, Mom, my career's taken off. No, you know. But she was insistent, and I did go to stop for 3 weeks, and turns out she was dying. But she didn't want to tell me because my career. And it was just such an interesting, you know, this juxtaposition of my career's taking off. Oh, my mother's dying. So I had to put everything on hold for about a year, and unfortunately she did pass away. And then I was going to start back in L.A., and everyone in L.A., the few people that, you know, that I had met, the casting, and I found an agent, and I called them, and they didn't remember me. It was a year. And within a year, all that, they're like, who, what'd you do?
How
and
the hell
can children?
They forget
what?
You? I'm sorry. How in the hell can they forget you?
It's that kind
you
of
are
business. You're an angel, but it's a...
Just
it's
such a talent. You have such a forceful talent.
Oh, thank you.
As soon as you came on, it's like, okay, well, I've watched General Hospital for years.
Yeah.
And when Teresa Castillo came on as Sabrina, I just fell in love. And then when you came on, I'm like, okay, again,
aww,
here we go. This is something I can get behind. I made a fan page for her and for you.
That's awesome. And right now,
I'm in the early stages. I've got 124 likes on my true Kathleen, true fans of Kathleen Gaddy.
Thank you.
I like that.
And also talk to the people over at welove.ro/spoilers. Welcome.
Yeah,
I share with them, they share with me, and we work together, and it's all for you. You know, we just love you.
Well, I so appreciate that. And, you know, I see all that stuff. I don't always have time to respond, but whenever
I
look at it, I'm so
how
touched.
In the world would you have time? You're on stage blocking and filming, and you've got other interests besides GH.
No, but, you know, but there's a lovely, I mean, Facebook, I get like 500 things a day, or, you know, on Twitter, there's like, I don't know, sometimes 10, sometimes 1,000. It's just awesome, and I don't even have time to look at them all. I still have like 1,500 on Facebook I haven't even read from when I was doing the nurse's call.
They'll put a limit to it to where they won't let people friend request you anymore.
But I'm so honored, and I'm so, you know, touched by that all. And meet so much, I just unfortunately don't have time to look at everything and respond to everything. Eventually, I will get through everything, but I won't always have time to respond. And I feel bad because people take time to write beautiful notes, or like you make actually a website, you know, or a page for it, and take time. That means a lot to me. I don't always get to say thank you, but I really appreciate it. I can't tell you how much.
I saw you in the Carnival cruise line. I think it was Carnival.
Yes, the commercial.
The commercial. I started
Disney,
laughing.
No, it was
like,
for
oh
Disney
my God.
Cruise line. That was one of the
Disney,
first stops I did.
I knew
came.
It was a cruise line.
Yeah, for Disney. But that was, you know how many years ago? That was when I first came to L.A., like 2000 or something.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's
that was fun.
One of the things, one of the major things for me is I don't know how we would work it because I can't just broadcast mine. My address all over the whatever, but if there was a way that I could give you my address and maybe you send, if it's possible, because I know you're so busy, like a personalized autographed photo.
I'd be happy to. Just send it to me on Facebook.
I'll
just send me your,
like
your, or on Twitter.
Message.
Yeah, just send me a message on Facebook. And I can't promise when I get around to it, but
oh, I know.
I will, because I've got a stack of, you know, people.
I would love that, because we're in the process.
I'm so
of
bad
buying
at autographs. My husband's like, you know, you've got a couple hundred things. You need to get those out. Mm-hmm. No, I know. And there's a lovely lady, Debbie O'Connor, who runs a fan page for me, or website. It's called KathleenGaddyFanClub.com. And we've got some live events coming up, and it's her, you know, her site, and she runs it. I mean, I endorse it, but it
says
there.
I'm in South Carolina, and then nobody come here, and I'm like,
You know what? It's there's we go to, like, major hubs. You know, if you get together 50 or 100 people, we'll come there.
Imagine.
You know, if you want to put together a group of, like, 100 people, then we'll show up. We'll get
downtown Columbia, yeah. I'm sure I could scrape it. I'd be like, hey, let's put this out here like this.
Well, you know what? Go to my website, KathleenGaffeyFanClub.com. There's Debbie O'Connor. You can write to her and, you know, or email me, and I'll have you give me your email address and I'll have her email you, or you guys can get in touch. And if you can put she can put something together with you, that might work out great.
There's a question that, as far as with your character, Dr. O, is there something down the road where we're going to see, like, okay, you've already made a bond with Britt somewhat, not, you know what I mean?
Starting to. We're working on it.
This is just starting. At the beginning stages, it's the baby steps. And with Nathan, it's even more, okay, we got to start. Is there a chance that we may see a bond start up between the three, mother, son, and daughter?
I really hope so. I hope that's where – I think the nurse's ball, what you saw there, was the beginning of something, and I honestly don't have any material, and even if I did, I wouldn't tell you, but I don't happen to have – the next storylines, you know, regarding that, but I feel that would be the correct direction to go in, and I think that's what's going to happen.
I'm thinking so too, because I'm seeing that they're playing so much else, and I'm like, wait a minute, wait, what? Hold on, you're playing so many characters, like you're dominating. They're dominating, you know, with certain characters, and I feel really they're not using Britta and Liesl and Nathan enough, really.
You know, the truth is there are so many great actors on that show and so many great stories. And they have to give everybody airtime. It's just only fair. And honestly, what happens is, like, I did so much around the nurse's ball. I got so much exposure, and I was just so grateful and lucky and blessed, and you name it. I mean, I really, it was fantastic that you guys were saturated with Obrecht. And then
I love it, though.
I love it. Are you kidding? I was a piggy, like a piggy in poo-poo. Can I say that?
We love it.
You know,
we love any chance to see that row. We're like, yeah.
Oh, no, it was such a great thing. But the truth is all these other stories have to be put on hold. So then those stories get to shine, and other actors and other storylines. It's just hard because the audience wants to keep going on a certain story. But then they're missing their other stories. So you can't make everyone happy all the time. And I think the writers are juggling. You know, Ron Carlovati and his team, they're really juggling to keep the audience happy. They read all the blogs and everything. They follow along. And then, of course, they do what they feel they need to do as well.
Oh, man.
To keep the story interesting. I mean, they'll listen to the fans only so much. They really
have
to.
I've actually got an idea of maybe they could actually hook up you as Dr. O with Nina.
With Nina? Yeah.
Silas.
Keep your eyes peeled on the TV and, you know. Cody, you want to take another caller?
I appreciate you calling in, Jessica.
Jessica, okay. Thanks, and do email me, and I'll try to get back to you, and I'll give you Debbie's
sure
email,
will.
Too. Thank you so much,
will.
And thanks for
Thank
everything.
You.
You're a doll. Bye-bye.
All right.
Thanks, Jessica. Bye. This next caller, I'm gonna bring on. Me and you both know pretty well, Em.
Oh boy, who is it?
I think it's 901. You there?
Yep, I'm here. It's me. It's Celia.
Hi.
Celia,
what's
up?
Hi, guys. Who's Celia,
I missed
you. I have talked to you before on another show that I co-host. And we
Miss
have, like,
Carly?
A good, like, pick, huh? Yeah, with Carly, yes.
Hi.
We had, like, a good 15-minute conversation. So, yes, I'm calling. I always, every time somebody brings up your name, I praise you and how good you are to the fans and how sweet you are.
Aw,
and,
thank you.
And I love you. But
thank you.
Like,
I love you,
her.
Too.
I love Dr. Obrecht, you know, too, and they always need a good villain, and you are such a good villain. You know, it's like you want to root for her, but it's like, why am I rooting for the bad guy, you know, kind of thing. But it's always fun to watch you. And it's so funny because I was just watching the Nurse's Ball this year, and I still laugh at your performance. So I'm like, only you. I just called to say hi, and I love you, and
thank you.
And we were talking, or you guys were talking about more storylines, you know, but with the whole Nina thing, and I don't think it's over because with the whole Nina thing, and then we have Madeline and all that, you know, so I don't know. Madeline,
did you guys watch today?
About her. I did.
Anybody watch today?
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched today yet.
I haven't watched today. What did I do today? People sent me text messages. Oh, so good to see Dr. O back on doing hospital stuff.
I don't know if I missed it because I'm in the middle of nowhere on vacation and I don't have a DVR out here.
Oh, okay. No worries.
Right.
I'm not going to spoil it for the rest of you. So
okay.
There you go. I'll spoil it to
I'll
me. What I do,
later.
What I do. Bye. Thanks for calling
it.
In.
It's like the one time I didn't watch. I'm like, I should have watched.
Right.
But, yeah.
Thanks, Julia. Thanks for calling us, Celia. I love you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
love
you.
Thank you.
We love you, girl. All right.
Bye.
Well, again, I wanted to thank you for taking a few minutes out of your day to come and chat with us. You know how I feel about you. You know I absolutely love you to death, and
you.
I just adore you.
Well, the feeling is mutual, and I appreciate your kindness and your curiosity and wanting to chat with me and everything. That's just great. So thank you.
I'm so glad that this time I got to talk with you. I was actually prepared.
Yeah, really prepared. No, you guys are great.
Well, thank you.
Great.
I worked hard, so I'm glad that it showed, and I'm glad that we had a great time.
Yeah.
Again, I've said this before, and I'll say it again. You have a open invitation to the show anytime you want to come back on, okay?
Thank you so much. Well, you know, I can't talk much about it, but I just did an episode of Being Mary Jane in Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
Georgia. That was great, and the girls are awesome. And, you know, that'll be fun. Whenever that airs,
right.
I'll know it, and I'll let you know, and we can talk about that.
Yay, good idea.
Or Dr. O. I love Dr. O, so we can talk about Dr. O anytime.
Absolutely.
And before
you guys
go,
are great.
Again, I just wanted to say, you're a one of the best,
Thank you.
A sweetest people probably ever, and I have so much respect for you. It's not even funny.
Oh, well, thank you. I really appreciate it. It's mutual, and I love you guys. Your passion and your dreams, and you know, just go for them. Do it. I'm just totally so there. Love it.
I love it.
I so support anyone who's got their dreams and goes for it and does them. That's just the best thing ever, 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 ever.
Thank you, Kathleen.
I'll
talk to you later, okay?
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Right.
Cody.
I have to tell you, Kathleen is one of the sweetest ladies probably in this entire world.
I was there, too. I know. I love her so much. Let's just talk about that. We already knew that I loved her because she called us before, but that was fun. I'm glad she did that. See, she made me feel better because I had a crap day, so that was nice.
I'm still talking to her.
She's just so
happy.
I'm still
reeling from that interview, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you're always like that. You get so hyped. I love it. I feel like that was just like one big love fest for like 30 minutes because everybody was like, I love you. And I was like, oh, we all love you too. So, you know. Okay, let me do announcements, then I'll shut my mouth. How about that? Because I know everybody looks forward to Emily shutting up because she talks so much. Okay. So on Thursday night at 5 p.m. Central, see, I moved to a central time zone, guys, so I'm going to stop telling you what time it is Eastern because I have to get
right.
My time zone.
Right.
Okay, 5 p.m. Central, we have Patsy Pease, and you guys know her from Days of Our Lives. She plays Kimberly Brady Donovan. I don't know if she's still Donovan. I don't know what the situation, but she was in the 80s. Okay, so she's coming on Thursday night, which we're super excited about. And I think that's and then Friday night we have our regular show. And Saturday's my mommy's birthday, so if she's still listening, which she's not because we're in the archive now, but hey, Mom, if you ever actually listen to this, I just mentioned that your birthday is Saturday. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
I think that's all we have scheduled for now, but we do need to schedule next week. So when we do, we'll let you guys know on Twitter.
I'm working on a thing for next week. I'll let you know something. I'm working on a couple things for next week.
I don't like the fact that your phone died and you don't have a charger. This is making my life difficult. I mean, I know it's making your life difficult, but it's making my life difficult,
imagine how it is for me.
Okay, can we just take a moment to talk about how amazing my questions were? Because I know they were. I had to think of good ones for the queen. Well, because I knew that she would have great answers, so I had to think of hard questions. And I know that my questions were great. Everybody said so. Okay. I'm done bragging on myself because I know nobody wants to hear that. God, you're still listening this far into the archive. We love you.
Yes, we do.
Anyways, so I'm going to go and cook dinner, and I'll see everybody on Thursday night for Patsy Peas.
I'll be talking to you later, okay?
All right, I'll email you. Bye.
All right, bye. Well, as I said earlier, I'm still reeling from that interview. Kathleen is probably, like I said, one of the best people on this planet, and I just love her to death. and like I said, Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Central, which I'm on Central Time, so it's 5 p.m. Central for me and Emily. We have Days of Our Lives, a Patsy Peas on with us. And that's an interview that I personally am looking forward to. And don't forget about our weekend in review show Friday at 5 p.m. Central. At 6 p.m. for you each coasters. I think that'll about do it for today. So with that, I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Bleak Days with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.